What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 344. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about inhaled tranexamic acid for hemoptysis, answer the drug information question, can milrinone be used in patients on CRRT, and share a tip for responding to inpatient medical emergencies. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode344. The article for this episode is titled Inhaled Tranexamic Acid for Hemoptysis Treatment. The lead author is Ori Wand, and this is currently in press to be published in the journal Chest. Tranexamic acid is an antifibrinolytic medication. It forms a reversible complex that displaces plasminogen from fibrin, resulting in inhibition of fibrinolysis. Tranexamic acid is commonly used systemically to reduce bleeding and trauma, or topically or systemically to reduce bleeding in orthopedic surgical procedures. Until now, there have been no prospective studies of the effectiveness of inhaled tranexamic acid for the treatment of hemoptysis. The authors of this study sought to prospectively assess the effectiveness of nebulized tranexamic acid for hemoptysis treatment. The study was a double-blind, randomized controlled trial of treatment with nebulized tranexamic acid versus normal saline placebo in patients admitted with hemoptysis. Patients with massive hemoptysis, defined as expectorated blood greater than 200 mL in 24 hours, and hemodynamic or respiratory instability were excluded. Mortality and hemoptysis recurrence rate was assessed at 30 days and 1 year. 47 patients were randomized to receive tranexamic acid inhalations or normal saline. There were 25 patients in the tranexamic group and 22 in the normal saline group. Tranexamic acid was associated with a significantly reduced expectorated blood volume starting from day 2 of admission. Resolution of hemoptysis within 5 days of admission was observed for almost all of the tranexamic acid treated patients, compared to only half of those receiving placebo. Mean hospital length of stay was 2 days shorter for the tranexamic acid group, and fewer patients in the tranexamic acid group required invasive procedures such as interventional bronchoscopy or angiographic embolization to control the bleeding. That was 0% in the tranexamic acid group required procedures versus 18.2% in the placebo group. There were no side effects noted in either group throughout the follow-up period. A reduced hemoptysis recurrence rate was noted at the one-year follow-up, and that was a benefit with the tranexamic acid group. The authors concluded tranexamic acid inhalations can be used safely and effectively to control bleeding in patients with non-massive hemoptysis. The study appears to demonstrate a very strong and beneficial treatment effect for tranexamic acid in the setting of hemoptysis. Patients in the active group got undiluted inhalations of the IV form of tranexamic acid 500 milligrams in 5 mLs 3 to 4 times a day. If possible, I prefer the preservative-free version of IV tranexamic acid due to the potential adverse effects of nebulized preservatives. The drug information question for this episode is, can milrinone be used in patients on CRRT? And my answer is, it's unclear if milrinone can be used safely in this setting. Only one article in adult patients is available to guide the use of milrinone in patients with CRRT. And the article is a case series of 6 patients with severe heart failure who got milrinone while undergoing continuous veno-venous hemofiltration. The half-life of milrinone was increased nearly tenfold in these patients. All patients died of severe ventricular arrhythmia within 1 month of receiving milrinone. If I can't use an alternative to milrinone, such as dobutamine in patients on CRRT, I would start at the lowest possible dose and use milrinone for the shortest amount of time. And my tip to responding to inpatient medical emergencies is to remember the general rule: don't treat sinus tachycardia, treat the cause. Think of sinus tachycardia the same way you think of a fever. It's a sign that means you need to do further investigation until you determine the cause. Sinus tach can result from homeostatic mechanisms in response to severe hypovolemia, anemia, or a low oxygen saturation. If you treat sinus tach in this setting with a rate-controlling agent, such as a beta blocker or calcium channel blocker, you'll wipe out your patient's only compensatory mechanism that's attempting to maintain oxygen delivery, and this can result in rapid and profound cardiovascular collapse. In my episode, Pharmacists as Members of the Rapid Response Team, I share more examples of potential underlying causes of sinus tach. To find this episode, go to pharmacyjoe.com/episode3. And I also provide more in-depth training on how to respond to Code Blue and rapid response calls in my Hospital Pharmacy Academy. To learn more, go to pharmacyjoe.com/academy. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.